Today on Bold Steps with Mark Jobe, we're learning how to create and cultivate an atmosphere of thanksgiving and joy.
There's something that happens to your attitude and your heart when you start embracing what you have and thanking God for it. Because that's exactly the kind of person or place that God wants to give more to.
Welcome to Bold Steps with Mark Jobe, president of Moody Bible Institute and senior pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago. Well, Thanksgiving was just a week ago, but it seems as we move closer to the end of the year, people forget all about being thankful. And as you brave the malls and shopping centers trying to find the elusive gift, joy can feel like it's on short supply. Today, Mark's going to address the habits that keep you spiritually healthy, which will help you create and cultivate an atmosphere of thanksgiving all year long. This message comes from our Defiance series, and if you've missed any of the previous messages in this series, you can catch up online when you go to boldstepsradio.org. Now, let's turn our attention to today's message.
There's a little book that is published, I think it's still in publication, called The Practice of the Presence of God. Anybody heard of that book before? The Practice of the Presence. It's a small book, easy to read, and Brother Lawrence was a guy that had lived quite a bit of life. He'd been in battle. He was injured, his sciatic nerve, so he was in constant pain, and he had joined a monastery in the 16th century. And his job in the monastery was a cook. So he was working in the kitchen. But he determined in his life that he was going to work in the kitchen, but be constantly aware of the presence of God no matter what he did. Even though washing dishes and cooking doesn't seem like a super spiritual thing, he determined what would happen if I live every moment aware that I'm in the presence of God and have this conversation, that I practice the presence of God all day long, whether I'm washing dishes or peeling potatoes. And so this little booklet is all about his experience at practicing the presence of God. I remember I read that book when I was about 16 years old, and I happened to get a job at a hotel in southern France as a dishwasher. My first real official job, dishwasher. And I remember, man, there are some of these nasty, I never knew they made pots this big. I mean, I could get inside these pots, and there was all kinds of gook at the bottom. And I remember in the steam, I'm scrubbing pots and washing dishes, and these French cooks are yelling at me, and I have no idea what they were saying, but it sounded like they were cussing at me. But I was washing dishes, and I'm working as a dishwasher at a hotel in southern France, and I got a hold of this book, and I felt like it challenged me to say, hey, you don't have to be doing spiritual things to be spiritual. That the presence of God is in the kitchen as much as he is in the sanctuary of a church. You just have to begin to acknowledge the presence of God and live in the presence of God. And I remember that summer making an intentional decision that I'm going to work in the kitchen with all the hustle and yelling and screaming and everything that goes along there, and all the everybody else was a pagan. There weren't other Christians there. And I was in there, and I was learning to practice the presence of God. And I tell you, I would finish up my dishwashing time. And it was like I had just come out of the most fervent, excited, powerful 3-hour church service in the world. Because while I was dishing, I was just saying, I'm humming songs of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Help me to love this guy that's really unlovable. God, you are, you know, your presence is here like you're in the room. And I tell you what, man, it was dishwashing. I could have ended up tired, crabby, angry, and then said, let me go do something spiritual. But instead, because of Brother Lawrence's example, I decided I'm going to make this into a spiritual experience, and I'm going to act as though Jesus is right beside me and talk to him and hum and sing, and my spirit would finish up, and I was like, wow, I've had a great time in God. And what I want to tell you today is that no matter what kind of job situation you have, You may be a stay-at-home mom and you're changing dirty diapers and have three kids, or you may be working on an assembly line, or you may be at a high-rise downtown inputting data into a computer, or you may be a boss. I don't know what your job is. You may be a university student, but I'm going to challenge you that you would begin to put into practice the habit of practicing the presence of God wherever you are and whatever you do. And if you know that He's there and live with the acknowledgement that God is there, then it would be rude to ignore the presence of God, right? You just start dialoguing. You just start talking, thinking. And I guarantee you that the habit of prayer without ceasing, if you begin to put it in practice, along with the habit of joy, will begin to alter your attitude about life, change your disposition if you begin to put into practice this incredible habit. Number three, he says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Verse 18, in everything give thanks. But what the Apostle Paul is saying is that you need to be cultivating the habit of thanksgiving. I love what Spurgeon, who was a preacher that in the I think it was the 17th century, he said, when joy and prayer are married, their firstborn child is gratitude. When joy, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, when you're rejoicing and you're praying, it's going to give birth to a thankful heart. Do you realize that Christians, the natural disposition of our life, the habit of the way that we view things, is an attitude of gratitude? That our natural disposition as believers is that we're thankful people. What is the opposite of being thankful? The opposite of being thankful is complaining. Dr. Dale Robbins writes this: I used to think that people complain because they had a lot of problems. But I've come to realize that they have a lot of problems because they complain. Complaining doesn't change anything or make situations better. It amplifies frustration, spreads discontent and discord, and can invoke an invitation for the devil to cause havoc in our lives. Complaining makes us miserable. Have you ever observed two people in the same situation and one is just nonstop complainer and the other one actually finds things to be thankful for? Have you seen it? I think that your complaining is like a magnet that attracts discontentment, frustration, aggravation, and negativity. You start complaining, and I can guarantee that the more you complain, the more frustrated you become. You start complaining and you attract other complainers. Guess why? Because people that are joyful and grateful don't really like hanging around with complainers. Amen. So pretty soon you're complaining and your frustration is growing. Your negativity is increasing. Your view on life is starting to get worse. And now you're joined with a couple other people that want to complain with you too. Yeah, you're right. You know, this is a terrible place. I can't stand this as well. Yeah, you're right. Come on. Life is terrible. And you see your life start going down the hill and you wonder where your joy is at. Let me tell you why. Because you're in the habit of complaining. The Apostle Paul says the attitude of your life should be to give thanks. When? Well, he says, in everything give thanks. In everything? Yeah, everything. That you find something to thank God for in everything. Psalm 77:3 says, I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. You start complaining because what is complaining? Complaining is focusing on the negative things that make you unhappy and why you wish they were different. So you camp out there. My brother, he shouldn't have that, but I have it. I always have to have it. I don't know why I have to pay that bill. Can't anybody else pitch in? Someone else says, hey, I have to do all the work. Oh, I have to do all the work at work. Everybody else is lazy. It always falls on me. No one else wants to take any of the responsibility. Here I am once again taking all the responsibility. Just hang out in that world a little bit and watch how dark your world becomes. And Philippians chapter 2, verse 13 says, do everything without complaining. Chapter 2, verse 13. Or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine as stars and lights. When you stop complaining and you start giving thanks, there's a couple things that happen when you start thanking. When you start giving thanks, it forces you to look for good. It forces you to focus on the positive. And guess what? When you're focused on the good, you're focused on God because God is good. Every perfect gift comes from above. It's really hard to praise while you're complaining. It's really hard to be full of faith when you're full of complaining. Thanksgiving, rejoicing, and prayer is the atmosphere of God. Complaining is the atmosphere of the flesh. And so when you find yourself complaining, you are generating an atmosphere in which the flesh and darkness are most at home, but not the spirit of the living God. I believe people create atmospheres in their house. Your house is full of complaining. Starts at the top and you're complaining about what you have to do and what you don't have and your house and the car and you wish you had a better job and you wish the neighbors would be quieter and you wish you had a different neighborhood and you wish you had a different place and how bad the economy is and the world is falling apart and Jesus better come quickly because this whole world is going down the drain. And if that's your attitude, then you begin to create a dark atmosphere in your home. And you wonder why your kids struggle with depression. And you wonder why there's not a lot of motivation about the future or making a difference, because if all they've heard is how dark and bad everybody and everything is, then you lose motivation to think that things can be different.
You're listening to Bold Steps with Pastor Mark Jobe. Today's message is titled, Habits That Keep You Spiritually Healthy. And if you've been encouraged by Mark's bold and passionate teaching, let me encourage you to go online and learn more about this ministry. And then while you're online, if you have a question you'd like Mark to answer, or if you'd like to connect with someone on our team, be sure to drop us a note and let us know. You can also connect with us on Facebook or Instagram, or share this message with a friend who might like to hear it. You'll find us online at boldstepsradio.org. And with our study on cultivating an attitude of thanksgiving and joy, let's jump into the second half of today's message. Here again is Mark Jobe.
And by the way, complaining also minimizes the good that God brings in your life. When you complain about what you have, what God has given you, in essence, you're saying, God, I know you gave it to me, but I don't really like it. Listen. When you develop a spirit of gratitude, you start saying, God, thank you that I have it. Bless you for it. I'm going to look for the good in what you've given me, and I'm going to praise you for it. This old car that you gave me, I know some people wouldn't like it. And I know when my wife gets in the car, her door doesn't open, so she's got to climb in the driver's seat to get over here. And I know it's got quite a bit of rust. You know, I could see the ground as we go by, and when it rains, it kind of splashes up at me a little bit. Okay. So maybe there's not a lot of people asking if it's for sale, and maybe not a lot of people want it. But thank you, Lord, amen, that it's paid for.
Amen.
Praise God, it's paid for. Thank you, God, that it gets me from point A to point B. Thank you, God, that I'm not riding a donkey right now. Thank you, Lord, that hey, at least there's no leaks in the roof. And thank you, God. I thank you, God, that I have this vehicle for now. And God, if this is what I have now, I'm going to bless it, thank it, name it, rejoice in it. I'm going to thank you that I have it. I'm going to park it with pride. I'm not going to hide it around the corner. It's okay. It's what I have now, but I'm going to be thankful for it. There's something that happens to your attitude and your heart when you start embracing what you have and thanking God for it. Because that's exactly the kind of person or place that God wants to give more to. If you have a kid that doesn't like what they have and all they do is complain, does it make you want to give more to them? Like, hey man, the last gift I gave you, you just complained nonstop about it. So guess what? I want to give you more. Now you think, you spoiled, ungrateful brat, I'm going to look for someone that's more thankful for this to give. And that's the way it is with the heart of God. You think that complaining about it's going to make God want to say, let me give you an upgrade. It's like, you know what, keep complaining. I'm going to find someone else that's a little more grateful than you. And lastly, so we have the habit of rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. And the last habit that he gives us is the habit, it says, and do not quench the Spirit. Exactly it says in verse 19, do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from all evil. So, let me just wrap it up with this, because it doesn't seem like, by the way, it says that these things are the will of God. Praying without ceasing, rejoicing, giving thanks in everything, that's God's will. Say, God, what is your will? Start thanking. What is your will? Start praying. What is your will? Start rejoicing. You know God's will. That's God's will for you. It is God's will. It's what he wants for you. And then he says, get in the habit of not quenching the Spirit. The word quench here means to extinguish, suppress, subdue, stifle, snuff out, stamp out, cause something to dry up. Oftentimes the Holy Spirit is compared to a fire. When on the day of Pentecost 120 people were gathered in the upper room, the tongues of fire, when the Holy Spirit came upon them, tongues of fire appeared over them. So the Holy Spirit oftentimes is symbolized as a fire. To quench the Spirit means that you do things or allow things in your life that put out the fire of the Spirit in your life. So not only should you rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in everything, but get in the habit of stoking your spiritual fervor and not allowing anything in your life to drown out the fire of God. It's amazing how quickly our spirit starts to dry up, isn't it? It's amazing how we can be on fire 3 weeks ago and 3 weeks later, it seems like that fire is gone. Well, here's the thing that I've learned about fires. Fires have to be stoked. Fires have to be encouraged, or fires go out. Your spiritual life is your responsibility. Stoke it. I'm kind of a little dry lately. I don't know, Pastor Mark really better get with it in his messages because I'm a little dry. Listen, hey, maybe I do have to get with it in my messages, but I'm going to tell you something. Your spiritual life is your responsibility. Stoke it. My home group leader, man, he really needs to get with it because I don't know, I'm feeling like my spiritual life isn't on fire. Your home group leader is not your spiritual responsibility. Your fire is your responsibility. Stoke it. Do whatever you need to make sure that that fire is burning strong, that you don't quench it. You need to be in the process of whatever quenches the fire. If hanging around certain friends causes your fire to be quenched, then stop hanging around with those friends. If listening to certain music gets you all carnal, you know, I'm not against secular music. But listen, if when you put secular music on, it reminds you of your party days, your bumping and grinding days, and you're kind of listening to it, and you get all fleshly, and all the flesh starts stirring up in you. Hey, don't listen to it. If listening is watching certain programs on TV, quench the fire. Whatever's taking away your fire, if it's like pouring water on the fire of God, then the Bible says, do not quench the Spirit. Don't stop the fire of the Spirit in your life. The fire needs to burn strong. And then he goes on and he says, basically, hey, do not despise prophetic utterances. A prophetic utterance is a word. It's the word of God. Prophecy is the foretelling of the word of God and the forthtelling. In other words, it's God's word for us today. That may come for someone that prays over you and says, you know, I'm sensing this that God put on my heart for you. And you may say, they're a wacko, I'm not going to listen to them. The Bible says, don't despise prophecy. Sometimes God gives burdens and words to people, but you have to test them. Don't go around. I've had so many prophetic words, and if I listened to every word, man, I'd be a yo-yo because I've gotten interesting words. And, you know, I don't despise them. I listen to them, but I also test them. And what he's saying is God may be speaking to you through a lot of ways. You may be in a service like this, and God really speaks to your heart through the forthtelling of the word of God. Don't despise it. Listen to it. Hear it. Grasp it. Someone may be praying for you and say, you know, I don't know. God's put this on my heart. I don't know if it means anything to you, but they share a word with you. Listen to it. Discern it. Hold what's good. Throw out what's bad. And abstain from every kind of practice or appearance of evil. Four habits. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. And do not quench the Spirit. You start practicing those habits now. Next 21 days. To develop a habit. And you practice them for the next year. I can guarantee you, you will radically change if you're not already practicing those habits in your life. And you will be more ready for the coming of Jesus Christ and change your perspective on life than anything else if you put into practices holy habits that can change your life. Amen?
This is Bold Steps, and you're listening to Pastor Mark Jobe. He'll rejoin us here in the studio in just a moment. You can find us right here in your local radio station and online. You can even listen to this daily program through your smart speakers at home or in the office. To learn more about what's available and how you can hear this program wherever you are, just go to boldstepsradio.org. These daily messages are made available because of our partnership with listeners like you. When you commit to becoming a Bold partner, you're not simply giving a monthly gift. You're learning and growing closer to Christ, and you're helping others do the same. Like this fellow listener who said, I give to Bold Steps because this program has truly encouraged me and taught me a lot about what I needed to know in my walk with God. It seems effective in terms of giving back to the things of God and not holding our money for ourselves. I hope God continues to bless this ministry because it's amazing. Well, we couldn't agree more. Partner with us today by giving a gift of any amount. Just go to boldstepsradio.org or call us at 844-615-7363. That's 844-615-7363.
With the virus, the holiday restrictions, the social unrest that's been taking place in our country, you may be feeling like everything around you is spinning out of control. And you're probably wondering if there's a way to find peace in the midst of the storm. Well, that's the topic that the late theologian Charles Spurgeon addresses in our latest Bold Step gift. The book is called Finding Peace in Life's Storms, and we would love to send you a copy today. Charles Spurgeon, by the way, is one of my favorite preachers and just a man of God that went through some very difficult times. Now, you may be thinking, what does a man who died over 100 years ago know about life in 2020? Plenty. Charles Spurgeon's life was not without controversy or strife. In fact, he suffered with gout. He struggled with depression. His wife passed away. He experienced quite a few challenges in life. But he reminds us that no case is too desperate for God. No problem is too big that he cannot overcome. And when you trust in the hope that God provides, you'll find the peace to navigate the greatest challenges, this year included. So replace fear and doubt with peace today by requesting a copy of Finding Peace in Life Storms by Charles Spurgeon. When you give a gift of any amount, go to boldstepsradio.org or call 844-615-7363.
Mark, let me go back to the message. You say the four habits that will keep us spiritually healthy include rejoicing always, praying without ceasing, giving thanks, and most importantly, not quenching the spirit. Now, tomorrow, we're going to move into the final message in this series. What's ahead?
Yeah, this is a powerful, powerful passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 because it talks about God sanctifying our whole person. And Wayne, sometimes we think about our spirit, but we can't quite define it. But in this passage, it tells us we're body, soul, and spirit. And I believe that God cares about the trichotomy of who we are as He works in our lives.
And we'll hear that message beginning tomorrow here on Bold Steps. Thank you, Mark. I'm Wayne Shepherd, inviting you to join us again tomorrow. As Mark said, we'll be looking at the whole body approach to our faith, and you won't want to miss the message. Part one kicks off Friday on Bold Steps with Mark Joe. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.